Hey, what's up, podcast? It's Jeff. Just want to jump in here. This is a special bonus episode of Teach Better Talk. This is actually going to be the audio recording from a Facebook Live that our team is doing every single day, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. Eastern Time in our Facebook private group. You can get in that group at teachbettergroup.com or go on to Facebook and just search Teach Better Team. You'll see our page and then you'll see the group. Get in there. So here we go, a special bonus episode of Teach Better Talk pulled from one of our Facebook Live videos in our private group at teachbettergroup.com. Hope you enjoy.
Yeah.
Doing awesome, Chad. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. I'm so glad we were finally able to connect. I much prefer hanging out with you in person, but you know, social distancing, we had to cancel our visits. So I thought this was a definite, at least an amalgamation of how cool it is to talk to you in person.
Yeah, for sure. I think the last time you were at our school was like the week right before everything shut down.
Yeah, we had some legitimate conversations the last time we talked about like, hey, I wonder what's going to happen over the next couple weeks or the next month. And then all of a sudden, this tidal wave of corona, of COVID-19, just destroyed everything that we could possibly. I don't know if I knew it was going to be quite like this when we had that conversation. But
yeah, no, I was asking you how the airports are, what's it like, and making sure you were safe at that time. But no, we had no idea.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have Adam saying good morning right now. Good morning, Adam. We'll let people kind of come in here. So, Mark, as we get started, could you tell everyone a little bit about yourself, where you're from, what your role is, and things like that?
Sure. I'm a middle school principal in Northern Illinois, in Plano, Illinois. And I've been here, you know, I don't really know the number of years. I've lived in this area my whole life. So 15 plus years, I think, in the school district right now, and close to probably 10 years as a administrator in some role. And then also, you know, we have a huge passion for middle level education and everything about that whole developmental period of kids' lives. I also serve as on the executive board for AIMS, which is the Association of Illinois Middle Grade Schools.
So AIMS is a fantastic network. It's a fantastic organization. Teach Better has collaborated with you guys multiple times. We always enjoy doing that. So Mark is bringing some great experience here from not only a leadership perspective, but from, you know, a middle school network working with schools in the middle level, from a leadership perspective, from a teaching perspective, and from an organizational perspective. So we're going to get into the educational stuff, but I really kind of want to just ask you, like, how are you doing, buddy? You know, like, how are you feeling? How are you dealing with like all this? How are you dealing with being home more often? Things like that.
My wife and I were talking last night. We get up every morning at 5 a.m. and go to a CrossFit gym. And while the 12 of us that are there every morning don't say a lot to each other because, one, it's 5 a.m. No one's barely awake. And then, two, we got to run out the door and get on with our days. We were just talking about like how much we're missing that personal piece, you know, even though you can still talk, you can still see what's happening with everybody through social media. It's not the same as seeing people in person. You know, and educationally, I think we're all just figuring it out. It's a good test to all of our patients and to everybody in the education world's resilience in learning new things and trying things on a day in and day out basis and just trying to reach as many students as we possibly can.
Absolutely. And that's a great point too. We're all just sort of figuring this out. I just want to take a minute to welcome Joe, Jeff Kaplan from Georgia, Alex Valensek, Lauren, and the wonderful Ray Hewitt is also dropping in and saying, hey, Mark, she's just saying good morning. See, she's really jealous right now because you were supposed to go live with her earlier this week and I got to instead. So I'm going to rub that in her face for probably the next few weeks just because, you know, I got the prize of getting Mark Heller.
I was prepping all week because like late last Friday night, probably around 9:30, our State Board of Education released what our remote learning expectations were going to be for our district. And I was thinking all weekend about, okay, how are we going to plan for this as schools across the state? But then I was thinking, gosh, Monday morning, Ray's going to drill me on this. And we're going to be talking all about this. I was kind of bummed. I couldn't make it work on Monday, but it is what it is. You know, Chad, back to the question about
the second prize, me.
No, not at all. Kind of how we're doing. Something I'm really looking forward to is through Ames today, we are trying to host our first virtual administrators roundtable to try to connect middle school administrators that are a part of our network. Sure. I'm really looking forward to that personal aspect of being able to talk with a number of those colleagues and find out what's going on. You know, it's great to try to connect with your teachers and trying to connect with your district administrators and your district principals. But I'm really looking forward to hearing, hey, what are other middle schools doing right now?
Yeah, absolutely. So talking, getting into sort of like leading through this crisis, so to speak. What are some of your biggest challenges as a school leader at this point in this process? What are, like, if you had to name your 1, 2, 3 challenges, like, what do you think your biggest challenge would be at this point?
I think one of the challenges, and you know, not just leadership, but for all of us as educators, we're servants and we're used to serving and being, having relationships with human beings and people, and having to do this virtually, I think is a challenge that obviously we all have to accept, but it's definitely a challenge. I miss that day-to-day interaction. I mean, you've been to our school, Chad, you know, it's not very big. We've got about 28 teachers, just under 400 kids. It's not unrealistic for me to be able to see every single one of them and talk to every single one of them on a day in and day out basis if I had to. So,
and a lot of days you do, based on my observation.
Yeah. So that communication piece is tough. And I think a takeaway for me is learning to get better at email, right? if that becomes our primary way of communicating right now. The trouble with that is email is not intended to be a two-way communication. It's, you know, for sending information. Yeah. So,
yes, go ahead.
That's it.
Yeah. So, and that's a really great point. We actually had a phone conversation about this, I think yesterday, about how, you know, no longer can you go have a quick hallway conversation with a teacher. No longer can a teacher get what they need from you with a quick classroom conversation. And all of a sudden, now every single small, conversation is an entire email, which now goes on a list, right, of things that you have to do. So instead of being able to just organically discuss things with the teacher, you now have 14 emails, which would have been, you know, a couple 30-second conversations. So I also want to say Tammy from Mexico is saying good morning, so that's pretty cool. Mark, I think your audio might have just happened with your audio. I could hear you fine. Yep, you're good now. You're good. Fine. Yeah, you're fine. Sorry. But yeah, that's a huge. So has that been an adjustment for you from like a building standpoint? Is like organizing your day and sort of when you take time for that communication? Or are you just trying to kind of respond as it comes in? What's your tactic for that?
I think we're still learning and figuring that out. You know,
totally. Absolutely.
It's been trying to respond, but you know, like I'm also used to working in a way where we schedule our day. And you know, yesterday was a day where for one reason or another, we ended up on Zoom meeting calls, you know, one right after another for different things that we had going on and doing. And by the time I looked up, it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And
yeah,
sometimes you also have to just turn it off then at some point. And Wednesday, you know, I don't know how for other states, but in Illinois, the special education IEP minutes and deadlines are still being expected to meet. So our special education team and our coordinators have been, you know, fantastic at figuring out and communicating with families. Hey, where are those IEP deadlines? How are we going to organize, set up, communicate with our families about holding those IEP meetings? And Wednesday happens to be our IEP day. So Wednesday was an ongoing day of Zoom meetings for IEPs. But there's always things that can be great takeaways from that, you know, that might be some breaking down some boundaries right now of, hey, that family that maybe can't drive all the way from work for an IEP meeting, but can get off for 30 minutes and call in remotely somehow, you know. Hopefully there's some good things that can come out of lessons of what we're having to do right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So Veronica also just said, good morning. I just want to welcome Veronica to our chat right now. But you made some great points there. And that is sort of this idea of like sort of scheduling our days has become this weird new challenge that wasn't there before because our days were scheduled for us. So now like our days are filling up with, I call it like Zoom-pocalypse almost, right? Like I feel like I've had more Zoom conversations in the last week than ever in my entire life. And I don't know if they're more or less productive or what the difference is, but it almost feels like you have to schedule those separate times now because you're not getting those organic, natural bump into someone in the hallway type conversations. So if you want something done, if you need to have that conversation, you know, absolutely. So
yeah, and our reality, you know, for our educators too, is they're home trying to figure out how to teach, how to develop lessons, and they're also parenting while they're home because their kids are at home. They've got all of their own challenges too. So
yeah,
a time that might work for one won't work for another.
Right.
You just kind of have to accept that and do the best you can.
Yeah, absolutely. As we've been doing these daily drop-ins, that's a resonating thing that I think needs to be universally known between educators, leaders, as well as, you know, teachers to students too. And it's that we're all in this situation that's new to us. You know, if you're a student, you're not used to learning from your bedroom or your kitchen table with your whole family there. If you're a teacher, you're not used to doing a digital lesson with your classroom in the middle of your, you know, house with your cat crawling across your lap or your husband working in the same room because they're both home. I mean, for me, it's been a huge adjustment too, because I'm used to being on the road all the time. Right. All of a sudden now I'm home working, but my wife also has to work her schedule. So we're like literally swapping back and forth Zoom meetings and calls because we have a common space we both work in. So there's a lot going on. One of the Facebook users said that I'm in Ohio and we also had IEP meetings yesterday on a Google Meet. So that's not just an Illinois thing. I think a lot of IEP meetings are probably happening right now. But you, I love the silver lining you put on that. So with some of the adjustments, right? And so let's transition this from challenges we're facing to with some of these adjustments that you're talking about, do you think at the end of this, there are going to be some positives that we can take out of it? So even though we have to have an IEP meeting digitally now, Is there an overarching, well, now this gives more flexibility, so if we need to do this again in the future, it's a possibility as opposed to it not being possible before?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, not only in those types of areas, but I hope that some things that come out of this as well as, you know, I talked over the years with a lot of different educators, heck, even some I've tried to recruit out of their buildings to come and teach for me when we talk about the ability to where can you be really autonomous with your own choices in your classroom and other schools that, excuse me, try to control what you do in your classroom. And, you know, now is really a time where that autonomy piece for teachers to do what they feel is right and be the educator that they want to be is really coming to the forefront right now. And I hope that when we get back into our school buildings, that that's an area that just continues to grow is helping to develop and let teachers be the person that they want to be and realizing that, hey, they figured this out right here on their own. I mean, we have people that email me and email our team and say, hey, I could really use this tool or I could really use this. Somebody sent me a message the other day that said, we can get free teacher pay teacher premium accounts. We just need you to do this webinar. Will you do it? Yeah, absolutely. I'll do that webinar. Yeah, for sure. Let's take advantage of everything that we can right now. So I think there's a lot, you know, that hopefully grows out of this. Our math teachers, who utilize the grid method in class. I mean, what better time for that mastery learning approach, what better time right. for figuring out personalized learning, what better time for our students to shine and step up to the plate and take control of their own learning a little bit and run with it.
Yeah, absolutely. So we also have someone saying good morning from one of Clinton Massey's. That's a district here in Ohio, satellite school. So Clinton Massey, they're a school that's also using their elementary, at least, is using some grid method in, I think, 2 through 5 there. I think you mentioned it. Teachers that are doing the self-paced learning already have kind of that connection to student autonomy, and they have a lot of the planning in place. There may be some adjustments that need done, but in terms of like the shift, it's much less than if you were lecturing for 60 minutes a day and now all of a sudden you have to figure out what this looks like. You also mentioned resources, right? I've been amazingly impressed with the Teach Better team. Just the people on our team, because this literally happened and all of a sudden, like, everything we were working on stopped. And then all of a sudden we had this huge shift. And over the last month, we've not only started doing these daily drop-ins, so this is every morning at 8 a.m. trying to support teachers, but we've also shifted. Caitlin Giordano is doing an amazing job with our blog. We've done a ton of blogging on remote learning, distance learning. Ray Hewitt has a brand new course out on distance learning. We're creating downloads and things like that. So it's been a crazy shift from our perspective as well. But it kind of goes along with, we want to provide as much resources as possible so that if teachers find them, they can get what they need. And I'd love you to speak a little bit more on, so like, you have teachers basically Apollo 13-ing this right now. So yeah. What do you think?
So funny that you ahead. Say that. Yesterday morning when I got home, my youngest daughter was awake and she was watching Apollo 13 on TV. And I looked at that and I thought, my gosh, what a connection to what we're living right now, you know, is just trying to figure things out from scratch and survive and make the most out of it.
It's the scene with the box where they just come on the table and they go, here's all this stuff. We need to fix this air ventilator or whatever. Like, figure it out, right? Fit a square peg in a round hole somehow. You know what I mean? And that's truly what happened. Overnight, the governor gets on and goes, hey, guess what? This is what your job looks like now. Sort it out. And that's a huge challenge. But I've also seen that, like, I think that's a huge opportunity as well. So I actually have a question from Alex Valensek, and it's for you, Mark.
Morning, Alex.
And it said, would you prefer your staff try new tech tools or learn to use the tools they already have better? I think that's a great question. So would you prefer that your staff kind of explore and experiment and try a bunch of new stuff? Or would you rather have them get really comfortable with things that you already had in place in the physical classroom?
I think that cop-out answer here, Alex, I think that depends on the person, right? So someone that hasn't used a lot of tech in their class, let's get really, really good. You know, our building was very much Google Classroom from a learning management system, but we did have a couple of teachers that didn't. So for them, you know, getting on and figuring out and supporting how to create a Google Classroom page to use to manage, that was huge steps for them. For somebody else, it was, okay, I've been using Google Classroom, I've been using different things. I want to jump into, you know, we got some requests to, hey, the Screencastify program is great. I've used it before, but it's limited. The free membership is about to run out. Is there any way that we can get a unlimited membership to be able to start to video our lessons a little bit more and run with it? So I think it's kind of a mixed bag type of question there. Where some school districts start to get concerned with that is, okay, are they going to start using things that are out of our control? And what falls within, safety requirements and making sure that our kids are in safe environments as well.
Yeah, that's a really great point. I need you to remember that last point that you just made, because I want to come back to it in just a second. But I also want to touch on Candace saying good morning. And I loved your answer to that question. I think that answer fit your style of leadership very well. I've had the pleasure of working with Mark, and as an administrator, he knows his staff better than most of the administrators I work with. And if you ask him about one of his teachers, he'll tell you kind of where they are in a spectrum, and he knows their strengths. And I kind of expected that response from you of, well, it depends what they need, because every time we have a conversation, you know, about, you know, your current situation or what your teachers are working on, we always get back to that variable of, well, this teacher, what they need versus what the teacher across the hall needs. And it's never like a one solution fits all. And I think that's a really great tip for administrators across the board, in that every teacher is not going to need the same thing. So it's not about providing a single resource, but providing the resources that fall on a spectrum of potential needs your teachers might have.
Yeah. And I've tried to tell our staff throughout the last couple of weeks of, you know, one of my roles is to advocate for the materials that you need. And I think as principals, that's certainly a huge role of ours. And I said, you guys just got to ask, you got to accept that no might be an answer. Sometimes we might get told no, that we can't do something, but please don't ask and please don't wait for, well, I wish I had this, but I'm waiting for them to give it to me. Like, ask.
Yeah. So advocating both ways, right? So that's a great tip for any educator, any teacher watching this now or on the replay or listening to it via Teach Better Talk podcast. Honestly, if you need something, don't be afraid to reach out to your leader and ask for it, because, you know, Marks knows his staff really well, but I don't think he's a mind reader, and I don't think anyone's principal can read minds. I don't think we figured out how to do that yet. So if you need things, if you're feeling, if you're struggling, I, as a teacher, you have to be willing to reach out and make that ask if you need a resource.
And as a principal too, you have to be willing to ask, you know, you have to be willing to get on the phone and push the issue a little bit and press some buttons if you have to. And sometimes you just have to make things happen too, if you can.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to come back to that point you had about sort of like the safety issue, right? I've actually read a couple of articles about Zoom having some security issues and people kind of bombing into conversations. And this is a legitimate concern I think we have to have, in terms of, now we have almost this open source educational landscape, right? And as leaders, as instructional coaches, and as educators, it's really hard to keep control over what teachers are using and how they're using it. So I think that's a really great point, is that we also have to be thinking, as educators in the classroom level, are there security risks here for my students in using this tool or how we're using this tool? And from a leadership standpoint, in terms of accountability, we also have to just monitor kind of any situations. Because I know, as a principal, if I would have read, or a curriculum director, if I would have read an article about how Zoom might not be like a safe thing, I now have to evaluate that and how my teachers are using it a little bit closer than the day before when everyone was just using it freely, because now there may be some issues.
Yeah, and I hope that people's perspective on that is not a, oh, this bad thing happened, let's shut it down. That's the easy answer. You know, I hope that.
Yeah, and that's a great point too.
All right. Well, maybe we need to limit it for now, but why we limit it, do we have somebody who's seeking out answers to fix this or to better it? And I hope that those companies too, all those companies that, you know, we've talked about that are great, that they're coming through and they're providing unlimited resources, they're providing discounted subscriptions, they're providing free resources for a certain amount of time. I hope that they're not just using this as a marketing scheme for themselves, but they're also constantly looking at ways of how do they make their own product better.
Yeah, if you're an executive at Zoom right now, you're probably examining a lot of those things very closely. You know, because you've blown up over the last couple of weeks. So, Candace had a great question and said a great comment. She said,
yeah,
"I believe that you also need to keep in mind what your students need. I bet they too are feeling overwhelmed by being bombarded by all this new tech, all these new tools. Sometimes it's best to stick with what your students are used to, especially during a time like now." So that's like a pedagogical sort of socio-emotional tactic that I think is, that rings true regardless.
Yeah, that's a super great point. Super great point.
And that's keep things that are familiar to your students, and that slowly enter new tools into your tool bag or into your Google Classroom or what you're using. So if you were using a Google Classroom account, and you were using Google Meets, and you were using Google Forms, and you were using Quizlet in your classroom to kind of organize things if you need to, now all of a sudden, like switching everything over to Zoom meetings and pull everywhere one day is going to be really stressful, because now the kid has to figure it out, the parent has to figure it out, and then you have to figure it out, versus continuing to use things that your students are used to.
Yeah, absolutely.
So are there any other challenges from a leadership standpoint from your perspective?
I think every day is a challenge. It's a matter of are we in it to try to make it better and come out of it being better the next day than you are right now?
Yeah. So let's think big picture for a second. I was actually being interviewed on a podcast last night with Kelly Croy, and we had been talking about sort of like the long-term ramifications of this. Do you see, I think this is an opportunity. I was even talking to Jeff Gargis after Mastery Chat last night. Do you see this as an opportunity for us to have some long-needed conversations about how important schools are to the community, how important testing is or isn't? Are there any sort of big shifts you think maybe this can't make them happen, but in my opinion, I think it'll start a lot of conversations. Do you think from a larger scale that this crisis in this situation will allow us to progress and evolve education at all?
Yeah, I really hope it. I really hope it does. I really hope it opens up opportunities that people learn from, and start to recognize, hey, I had to teach this way remotely, and here were things that were successful. How can I now make this work in my classroom? And I think when we get into that question, I don't know if this is what you're alluding to or not, Chad, but that question of standardized testing that, certainly is a controversial topic and has pros and cons to it is, we know where that fits and doesn't fit into the educational world of our kids. But from a state perspective, there's also a lot of funding things that they tie to that and how they'll figure those things out.
Sure.
But I think as educators, it's definitely a time for us to step up and be able to speak out about what we feel is best for kids.
Yeah, absolutely. That's an amazing point. So Tammy just mentioned, I want to make sure everyone hears this and sees this, that Zoom does allow you to have a password for meetings. So that's going to make it more secure, and that you can enable a waiting room so you can turn off file sharing and things like that. So as Mark said, instead of reading an article and going, oh no, we can't use Zoom now, maybe dig a little bit deeper, find some of those privacy settings, those protections, and put them into place. Or maybe just be aware that it's a possibility that those things can happen so you can be mindful of them. So Zoom, and then Jeff, my buddy Jeff Gargis here from the Teach Better team, also said that they've had a huge, insane influx of business over the last 2 weeks. So they're also catching up as a company to kind of deal with all of this influx in, anytime you push a system, you're going to find flaws in it. And I think Zoom, video chats, and things like that, I think it's really important. And someone else chimed in, users still need to utilize the available security issues that are currently present. And things will get better, but this is also a time where if you weren't using those security settings, if you're watching this morning check-in, you now are aware of those security settings, so you should be using that. So I loved your statement in terms of your analysis of the current situation. I agree. I don't think state testing is going to go anywhere. I think it's still going to happen, but I do think that this is going to increase the respect a lot of communities have for educators based on what parents and stakeholders are having to go through with at home with their students right now.
Yeah. And every community is going to be different there, Chad. I think
that true.
what communities need is a reality. A school is so much more than just a place for academics and education. I mean, you know, we talk quite a bit about that's really just maybe 33% of what we actually do on a day in and day out basis from an academic standpoint. I've been super, you know, I know that this is common across the state and across the country, but super proud of our cafeteria workers. We have about 4 people that have been consistent on a daily basis of coming in and been providing, you know, upwards of 500 to 600 breakfasts and lunches on a daily basis to hand out as brown paper bag, you know, lunches. And I think our many people in our community and many people across the country, you know, I was watching last night about all the food shortages going on right now. I mean, what a great resource to be able to provide for people, right, coming from the schools.
Yeah. So I think schools are being sort of not rebranded purposefully, but rebranded in an urgency as sort of like these community resource centers, right? And you have amazing frontline workers, like our support staff, like our cafeteria workers, like our janitors, like still showing up, still doing this work. And you know, sadly, some of that's not getting the attention I think it deserves. But like, I think across the board, whether it's for teachers, support staff, or whatever, I do think you're increasing the level of respect and the level of value that all of these amazing people have to a community, because you're realizing what's still there, but also what's not there anymore, you know?
For sure. We have a partnership that has kind of grown over. One of our teachers was the one who formulated creating it, and with an organization, a non-for-profit called Enchanted Backpack. I don't know if that exists beyond Illinois or not. I think you and I talked about this a little bit with some of the school supplies that we started the year out with. And only a couple of days into this, they were already reaching out to us and out to other schools in Illinois and saying, hey, we have all of these books and toothbrushes and toothpaste and jump ropes and all these supplies that we're amassing here. We want to give it out for people to be able to have to read at home. Do you guys have a way? And that was great. You know, we had to go pick the stuff up, but we were able to then provide, you know, all kinds of books and those materials during our lunch handouts over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't want to take up your entire morning, Mark, but I do want to get some final thoughts, if that's okay.
Yeah.
So if you could have a parting thought for every educator listening or watching this, and then a parting thought for every principal or leader that might be watching this. So a teacher level kind of tip, like a Mark Heller tip of the day, and a principal level, like maybe something that you think is going to be really important to think about or do over this time. And then maybe just a parting thought of maybe some either motivation or just a thought that's getting you through this time that other people might be able to take advantage of.
Sure, sure. I think from a teacher standpoint, it doesn't really change from anywhere else. It's don't be afraid to fail and just try to reach as many kids as you can. We may not get everything to everybody. I think that as schools, we're going to continue to try to push the envelope and learn from that. But know that why maybe you don't have all 22 faces in front of you, reach whoever you can and do what you can and keep learning on a daily basis with what you're doing. And as I said earlier, if you need something, don't be afraid to ask somebody. There's a million different ways to reach out, whether it's through your PLN or through your district administrator or through your teacher team.
Yeah, absolutely.
Lean on each other and work through this together.
Absolutely. In terms of your principals, what would you tell them? What would you tell principal listening right now?
I think as principals, we have to keep remembering that how difficult this is on everybody. You know, there's so many realities to this, and make sure that we know that the opportunities that we're providing are going to be taken differently. That people have to recognize what is their current reality right now and what do they need. You know, I think an interesting thing that'll grow from this is discussions around the concepts of grades, you know, that we were talking about earlier. what can you really do right now? You're really trying to educate and provide feedback. The grades are going to become secondary right now and not a major focus of what anybody's doing. So to get back to your question, though, I think from an administrator standpoint, it's, yeah, how do you recognize and realize what are the needs of all your different people, all your different kids, all your different families, all your different staff members, and check in with them? And I think a good thing to do is, as you can, try to reach out and make some phone calls to those that are closest to you and just see how they're doing.
Yeah, that's, I couldn't have thought of a better message for both of those groups of people. I love your discussion about this is going to change the way we look at grading, because something that you've mentioned before in our conversations that I want to kind of bring to light is that this is an educational environment where a lot of those distractions that normally exist in the physical space of the classroom are not there. Teachers have more, I don't want to say they have more time because like they're, this is taking up a lot of their time, but they have more planning time than maybe they've had before in terms of a day-to-day process, because you're not having to manage the physical space of the classroom. So I love the fact that you're touching on taking advantage of like the nuts and bolts of pedagogy, instruction, feedback, and grading. And then I'm excited personally to see after all of this, how many of those things enhance the physical classroom when teachers go back, right? Like how many teachers are improving or better at the end of this than they were going into it because of all these new experiences that they've had.
Yeah, something unique that came out, and I'm sure it came out in states across the country, but our state board of education, I think, I don't know how they pulled it off, but somehow they pulled together about 60 educators from around the state to try to collaborate on some remote learning guidelines. And one of the things I thought was most interesting in there was a table that they demonstrated of how much time should a kid at different developmental levels, and even at the middle school level, it was like 15 minutes. Minimum 30 minutes max per class, you know,
right?
So you're really diving down to what's most essential, and whether that's most essential academically, most essential social emotionally, most essential just relationship checking in, you know, everyone's most essential is a little different.
Absolutely. I think that's a great kind of final point here, is focus on the essentials, right? Focus on those nuts, those bolts, those basic needs of our students, of their instruction, and of their work. Whether you're a leader, whether you're a teacher, I really, really do think that's a huge takeaway from this, is focus on those essentials, regardless of where you are. Give people grace and time to adjust. It doesn't have to be perfect. It's not going to be perfect, and we can be okay with that, right? We can be okay with struggling through this. But this is an interesting time, Mark. I'm so glad you were able to join us this morning and help us kind of talk through it. I truly appreciate your time and your insight. Mark, I'm sure we'll have you back at some point because, you know, we like you and we like hanging out. But I want you to have an amazing day. I want to thank everyone who joined us or anyone watching this, or listening to it later on. Please feel free to reach out if you need anything to the Teach Better team. Mark, have an amazing day. Thank you so much. And everyone, have an awesome day.
Yeah, you too. It was a pleasure, Chad. Have a great day, everybody.